It's official. Delta to acquire Northwest. The Rocket Racing League will debut at Oshkosh. And Embraer completes the first Phenom 300. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 15th, 2008. For months, we've been hearing gossip from those unnamed sources close to the talks. Now they're going to have to find something else to do. Delta and Northwest have agreed to a merger, displacing American Airlines to become the world's biggest airline, measured both by revenue and by revenue passenger miles. Both airline websites carried a statement which said the merger will, quote, provide employees with greater job security, an equity stake in the combined airline, and a more stable platform for future growth in the face of significant economic pressures from rising fuel costs and intense competition. Small communities throughout the United States will enjoy enhanced access to more destinations worldwide. Customers also will benefit from the combined carrier's complementary route networks, which together will offer people greater choice, competitive fares, and a superior travel experience to more cities than any other airline, unquote. The Associated Press reports Northwest shareholders will receive 1.25 Delta shares for each Northwest share they own, representing a premium to Northwest shareholders of 16.8% based on Monday's closing stock prices. You can find all the details and much more analysis to come on our website at aero-news.net. First announced 2.5 years ago, the Rocket Racing League announced on Monday morning its rapidly approaching blastoff. At an event in New York, the RRL announced its first exhibition race will take place August 1st and 2nd at EAA Air Venture 2008 in Oshkosh. The league also announced other big news, more 2008 exhibition races, the acquisition of Velocity Aircraft by Rocket Racing Composites Corp., and that Armadillo Aerospace will manufacture liquid oxygen engines for the Rocket Racing League. At Oshkosh, for the first time ever, two rocket racers will compete head-to-head in a demonstration race in the Raceway in the Sky. Pilots will view the raceway via in-panel and 3D helmet displays, and the 700,000 spectators will witness the action live on large projection screens. The rest of the season will include exhibition races at the Reno Air Races in September, at the XPRIZE Cup at Las Cruces, on a date to be determined, and at Aviation Nation at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, November 8th and 9th. Under the terms of Rocket Racing Composite Corp's purchase of Velocity, Velocity becomes a wholly owned division and will produce a standardized airframe for use by all league competitors. This story has been long in developing, and there's lots more detail available in the print version on our website at aero-news.net. Embraer tells ANN it finished assembling its first Phenom 300 jet at the Gavião Peixoto plant in São Paulo, Brazil on Saturday. The rollout precedes a series of ground tests in preparation for first flight later this year. Final assembly of the second Phenom 300 has also begun at the same plant. Luis Carlos Afonso, Embraer Executive Vice President of Executive Jets, says he's thrilled. Quote, the Phenom 300, with its premium comfort, best-in-class performance, and low operating cost, will set a new standard for the light jet category, unquote. The 9-seat Phenom 300 rollout occurred just 10 months after the smaller Phenom 100 was unveiled for the first time last June. The 300 is powered by two Pratt & Whitney Canada PW535E engines rated at 3,200 pounds of thrust each and claims range with six occupants will be 1,800 nautical miles with IFR reserves. The plane will have a maximum operating speed of Mach 0.78 at 45,000 feet and is designed for short field operations. The plane will enter service in the second half of 2009, says the company. It'll be priced at $6.65 million U.S., based on January 2005 exchange rates. United Airlines said Monday it will postpone the launch of nonstop service between San Francisco and Guangzhou by 1 year, blaming surging fuel prices. United was awarded the new China route by the U.S. Department of Transportation late last year and must get DOT's okay for the delay. CBS MarketWatch is reporting the second-largest U.S. carrier has applied for agency approval. Service was originally set to start on June 18th. In an official statement, United said it originally made plans for the service based on oil at $72 a barrel. Quote, with prices in excess of $100 U.S. a barrel today, we face a cost increase of more than $2 billion U.S., unquote. So why not just raise ticket prices to compensate or add a fuel surcharge? Industry experts say airlines typically must offer steep ticket price discounts to attract demand on a new route and make up the loss elsewhere in the company's operation. With fuel prices where they are now, that's just not possible. The airline's statement added, quote, United remains committed to serving China, the airline's fastest growing market in the Asia-Pacific region, unquote. There are currently 7 nonstop U.S.-China routes. United flies 5 of them, with Continental Airlines and American having 1 each. Up next on ANN, American Airlines may not be the last target of the FAA crackdown. Congressman James Oberstar says blame the airlines, not the FAA or Congress. And DOT's own Inspector General says caps at Kennedy and Newark won't work. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 15, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. American Airlines is now back to a normal schedule after a regulatory crackdown by the FAA, which resulted in the cancellation of more than 3,300 flights scheduled on MD-80 series airliners in less than a week. While the sudden and aggressive FAA action has cost American an estimated $30 million and inestimable damage to its image, the airline may not be alone for long. Reuters reports the FAA is still investigating a handful of airlines for possible lapses in maintenance as part of its unprecedented industry-wide review of compliance with its safety orders. For now, FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown says the audit found overall industry compliance at 99%, and we're not likely to see another catastrophe like what happened to American. Quote, based on the high compliance we saw, we're optimistic we're not going to see problems like this again, unquote. The FAA was criticized by 2 of its inspectors for becoming too cozy with the airlines it's charged with regulating. Some industry analysts see the crackdown as having more to do with FAA politics than with genuine safety problems. But American Airlines Chief Executive Gerard Arpey said last week, quote, the FAA is stepping up surveillance and doing their job, unquote. It may be comforting to travelers to note that nearly all the MD-80 series planes subject to the wiring harness errors have now been checked for compliance with the FAA's airworthiness directive. But Robert Mann, an airline consultant, warns we may have seen just the beginning as airlines adjust to a new, stricter regulatory environment. Quote, there are thousands of directives out there that require absolute compliance. When the FAA casts a wider net, whether it's next week or next month, we could see another episode with another aircraft type with other operators, unquote. The man who could have come across as the bad guy in all of this remains unrepentant. Minnesota Congressman James Oberstar is chairman of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. He says he has no regrets about forcing the FAA to take a close look at airline safety, even at the cost of massive flight cancellations by Southwest, Delta, and most recently American Airlines. Oberstar threw the blame right back at airline management. Quote, safety should always be valued first. In the years before September 11th, aircraft were routinely pulled out of service for different checks. That's one of the reasons the airlines had extra aircraft to bring into service while others were undergoing a D-check, which is an entire maintenance overhaul. So airlines knew they had to have airplanes in reserve to cover the responsibilities to air travelers. But after September 11th, the domestic airlines retired some 20% of their fleet, and then the period of bankruptcy took even more aircraft out of service. So their margin of capacity is very thin. Their load factor is very high. Their yield is very high. But when they have to conduct maintenance, that means sometimes having to pull aircraft out of service. That is a fleet management issue for the airlines, unquote. As to what we face this summer, Oberstar believes commercial airline passengers haven't seen the end of flight cancellations. And again, he blames procrastinated maintenance and inspections the airlines should have performed in a timely manner. Quote, I think this will go on for a while as airlines realign themselves and the FAA adjusts its attitude to be rigorous with the airlines and not partners with them, not treating them as customers, unquote. Back in December, the U.S. Department of Transportation announced a series of measures aimed at avoiding a rerun of last year's summertime airline delays. One of the cornerstones was a cap on hourly operations at Kennedy and Newark. Now, Newsday reports DOT's own Inspector General predicts the caps won't help. Quote, history shows that caps do not necessarily translate into a significant reduction in delays or an increase in airline on-time performance, unquote. U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat from New York, has seized on last week's report to make headlines. Quote, this report spells serious trouble for New York City air passengers this summer. This report proves what we have been saying all along. We need to take broad, concrete steps to overhaul our aviation system, not half measures and guesses, unquote. The senator says the FAA should consider reopening military airspace to passenger flights, as it did during last year's holiday season, and act on dozens of Port Authority recommendations for improving area airports. DOT spokesman Brian Termail put at least part of the blame on, quote, Congress's continued failure to act on needed reforms, unquote, including funding for new air traffic control technology. In other words, user fees are the required fix. Termail also criticized policies that, quote, discourage airlines from setting schedules that are unrelated to the capacity of local airports, unquote. He added the department is already working with the military to arrange for additional airspace this summer. Investigators with the FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board are combing through the wreckage of a Cessna 310Q that struck two homes in Compton, California on Saturday afternoon. KNBC TV News reports two on board the aircraft and two others on the ground were critically injured when the plane came down in a neighborhood in the 500 block of West Cypress Street. All four are expected to survive. A fifth person was hospitalized briefly after reporting chest pains at the scene. FAA spokesman Ian Greger said the aircraft attempted to make an emergency landing at Compton Airport for unspecified reasons. Photos show the aircraft came to rest in a nose-down attitude, with the nose crushed but the fuselage largely intact aft of the forward bulkhead. Preliminary report details are available at aero-news.net. Still ahead, all the commercial space boom needs is a few more bucks. AAR Corp. refutes FAA charges it violated a 2001 directive. And lost Terminal 5 baggage may meet a fiery doom. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 15th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. There have been many parallels noted between the high-tech boom of the late 1990s and the coming boom in commercial space exploration and tourism. But so far, there's one big difference. Investors Business Daily reports that the new era of commercial spaceflight has yet to attract meaningful participation by venture capital firms. It's not for lack of promising business plans. George Whitesides, executive director of the National Space Society, notes, quote, "Space is not cheap, but if you look at the business models, some of these companies could be making money relatively quickly," unquote. So far, the money driving the commercial space projects underway has come from veterans of the tech sector. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen has $30 million invested in Scaled Composites, much of which came in to fund Spaceship One, which won the $10 million Ansari X Prize. PayPal co-founder Elon Musk has more than $100 million of his personal fortune in Space Exploration Technologies, aka SpaceX, which is building rockets for space travel. Last year, Google announced the Google Lunar X Prize, offering $30 million in prize money for teams that successfully land a robot on the moon. Peter Diamandis, chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, says 10 teams have signed up and another 10 likely will. He expects the 20 teams collectively will spend more than $400 million on the contest. Guillermo Sonline, co-founder of the Space Angels Network, which helps commercial space ventures find funding, commented on the efficiency of the XPRIZE in moving the sector forward. Quote, "All they had to do was dangle $30 million in prize money, and they get maybe a $500 million in innovation. Where else could you get that kind of return?" Unquote. Analysts agree that some successful headlines from private space companies could get the attention of venture capital firms that start the money flowing soon. Get their attention? Gee, if only there were some way to combine the excitement of kerosene liquid oxygen rockets with a proven model of NASCAR. On Monday, AAR Corp., which operates a Florida maintenance facility serving the airlines, announced Boeing has issued a multi-operator message to its 707, 747, 757, and 767 customers, dated April 8th, signing off on the use of enamel paint on the inside surfaces of main landing gear truck beams. Now, if this sounds obscure, you have to remember the FAA had accused AAR of outfitting hundreds of Boeing jetliners with landing gear equipment that had been painted in an unapproved fashion over a period of years. In response to the March 25th unapproved parts notification, AAR said the directive it was accused of violating covered only painting over a drain hole, and that Boeing has authorized the glossy enamel paint it used. AAR appears to have the documents to back that up. According to the company, Boeing's MOM reconfirms that the enamel applied by AAR as a top coat is, quote, "equivalent to drawing finish requirements and can be considered acceptable," unquote. AAR has been operating FAA-approved repair stations since 1968. The company says it has and will continue to work with Boeing and the FAA to clarify and resolve this issue without disruption to its customers. If you've ever had your bags lost during airline travel, you may have imagined them ending up in some sort of luggage hell. Well, it turns out that wasn't such a bad guess. The latest in a series of Terminal 5 public relations nightmares for British Airways comes from Giovanni Tonelli, a worker with Milan-based Onboard Express, who told the London Daily Mail, quote, "All our BA bags that are untraceable are sent back to BA, and then they are destroyed in an incinerator," unquote. Needless to say, the owners of the estimated 28,000 bags lost by the new automated baggage handlers at Terminal 5 are not amused. BA was quick to release a statement saying every effort is being made to match the missing bags to their rightful owners. The airline says bags still unclaimed after 6 months might be auctioned. So when the airlines warn you to fill out a name and address label and make sure there's also one inside the bag, take that tip to heart. In related news, Minister for London Tessa Joel says the T5 mess has damaged London, adding, quote, "BAA has to be responsible in a sense for every bit of lost business to London," unquote. British Airways CEO Willie Walsh resisted the temptation to pass the buck. Quote, "There is little value or merit in trying to apportion blame. It is clear that we got things wrong," unquote. Finally, mark your calendars for April 15, 2009. That's when NASA has scheduled the first flight of its next booster rocket, the Ares 1. Florida Today reports engineers with the space agency are already working overtime to ensure the 327-foot-tall Ares 1X will have a smooth flight from Pad 39B at Kennedy Space Center. KSC's Ares 1X project manager Carol Scott said, quote, "I don't think I've ever been involved with a project that has moved this fast," unquote. The April 2009 flight will be the first of four test flights for the rocket's first stage, derived from the current space shuttle's solid rocket boosters. In particular, NASA hopes the flight will validate measures to quell an anticipated vibration issue in the booster system and verify the vehicle's finless attitude control system. The picking of the exact date is great news, but with all due respect to NASA's date-picking track record, I think I'll take one of those pocket-sized four-year calendars, like the ones that come with new checkbooks, and just put a big X on all of 2009 through 2012. Call me in 4 years and we'll see how that worked out. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear excerpts from the Liberty Aerospace press conference at Lakeland and my interviews with three company executives regarding progress with the XL2 trainer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.